Our scripture this morning is Proverbs 14, verse 1. This is God's word. Please give careful attention to it. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. Pray with me. Father, we come to your word seeking its instruction. Grant to us, Lord, hearts that receive it with meekness. Grant to us, Lord, ears that hear. Grant to us, Lord, wills that are quick to obey. Give us faith, Lord. Accomplish your perfect work through your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. We see here in this proverb a contrast. In one sense, it's a very simple contrast, the contrast between a wise woman and a foolish woman. But know that this contrast is not merely an observation. It is not as if we are saying that birds build nests and windstorms come along and knock them down. No, in fact, God is instructing us through this proverb. He is making here a moral judgment, a judgment in which he praises the wise woman and criticizes the foolish woman. As such, this proverb is moral instruction for you. In this proverb, the Lord instructs you to recognize your calling, to consider your character, and to choose between wisdom and folly. And so we will consider those three points this morning. I will call upon you, especially ladies, to recognize your calling, to consider in the light of this proverb your character, and finally, to choose between wisdom and folly. Now, the first thing we must notice is that the wise woman builds her house. Ladies, you must recognize your calling. The proverb is not only telling us that a woman is wise because she builds her house, but simply that she does build her house. A house in Proverbs, in this case, as it is so often the case in Scripture, refers not to a place, not to your address, not to the four walls and ceiling and roof. It refers to people, specifically a husband and children, maybe even in-laws and grandchildren. A house in Scripture oftentimes, and in this case, refers to a family. This is the case in Ruth chapter 4. Listen to this prayer on the precipice of Ruth's wedding to Boaz. They said, "The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you, Boaz, prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem." You see, the house which is being discussed here is a husband's estate, a husband's children. The house refers again to people and not a place. The woman mentioned in Proverbs is being called back, hearkened back to creation. Remember, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the earth. And as the man named the animals and sought to accomplish the work which the Lord had set before him, there was found for him no suitable helper. And so the Lord made for man a helper from his own side and brought the woman to the man. The woman was made out of man to be a helper for man. Notice that in this narrative, the woman was supplied because man lacked something, and God wanted to supply that lack. She was appointed to be his helper, and so God ordained what we call the institution of marriage. And it is by marriage, the bringing together of a man and a woman, that the Lord populates the earth, and indeed populates the church. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Lord commanded man, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." A command, by the way, which has never been rescinded. This command was given to man prior to his fall, and it continues even to this day. And so the Lord gave to man a helper for that very reason. The promise after man's fall also came through the woman's help. Remember that in the curse, the woman would experience increased sorrow in childbearing and increased pain. But the promise comes through childbearing. It was through the seed of the woman that the Savior would come. You see, the woman from the beginning was called to be a helper to man, to help him in his work, and to bear children. So then, the calling that this proverb calls upon you ladies to recognize is that you are called to be a wife and a mother. This has not changed in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, speaking of young women, in Titus chapter 2, says, young women must be taught to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Your calling as a woman is to be a helper. And as a helper, that means being a wife and a mother. This calling supersedes every other earthly calling. In fact, no other calling upon womankind is of greater virtue except her calling to follow Jesus Christ. Nothing else supersedes this calling. Not your personal desires, not the demands of society, not the desires of anyone else. God himself, by his word and through the example in creation, has called women to be helpers of men, to be wives, to be mothers. Ladies, what I am telling you this morning will be contrary to what many will tell you. The world will say the opposite. Worldly Christians will discourage you from this. Our world today is ashamed of wives and mothers. But ladies, let me remind you, God is not ashamed of wives and mothers. No, indeed, in this proverb, God praises the wise woman who builds her house. This applies, of course, not only to women. Young men, you also are called to marriage and family. This is God's call upon humanity. Are there exceptions? Yes, there are exceptions. But be careful that we do not make the exceptions the rule. Our larger catechism, speaking on the duties required in the seventh commandment, says this. It requires marriage by those that have not the gift of continency. Continency means restraint. It means you don't have the ordinary human sexual desires and urges. There are examples, none more prominent than the Lord Jesus Christ, who never took the comfort of a wife, because his mission was to come and die for sinners. He did not have time and space in his calling for a wife, and so he forwent that privilege. There are other examples in Scripture of people who were unmarried and yet were very valuable in service to the kingdom of God, but again, those are the exceptions. Larger Catechism 138, speaking on the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The sins forbidden in that commandment include undue delay of marriage. Your society tells you, young people, do not get married. Do not be so quick to get married. Wait. Well, I will allow you with your parents and your elders to work out what is the appropriate delay, but I want to warn you against undue delay of marriage. So the wife's calling is to be a helper. She is to pursue marriage and motherhood. She is to seek these things because they are examples of wisdom that God praises. Now, of course, we have exceptions. As we mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others who are accepted by providence. They have various reasons why they may not pursue marriage or children. Sometimes women have health conditions that do not permit them to bear children. All of these God is well aware of and he understands, and all of the exceptions are considered. But understand this, generally speaking, women are called to marry and bear children. There is no higher honor for a woman than to be called mother. We have these exceptions. Perhaps I can give an analogy. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says that if a man will not work, he shall not eat. When is man accepted from working? Well, there are circumstances in which we can envision a man may be accepted from working. If a man has lost his job due to circumstances beyond his control, if a man has become injured or otherwise incapacitated, if a man is transitioning from one job to another, we understand that there are circumstances in life in which a man is accepted from that command. And yet we know that the rule, the universal rule, is that a man must work, and if he does not, he should not eat. So too with women. There is a universal command. You should be pursuing marriage and children. This is God's calling for women. As I said, the world will look down upon this domestic enterprise. But the proverb says that the wise woman builds her house, and that house is a husband and children. Secondly, this proverb teaches you to examine your character. Two kinds of character in the book of Proverbs are often set against one another, the wise and the foolish. The wise and the foolish. Wisdom, as I've mentioned before in Proverbs, refers not necessarily to our mental ability. It is not our acuity. It is our morality. Wisdom in Proverbs refers to the knowledge of God, the fear of God, faith and obedience. Folly, on the other hand, refers to unbelief, a rejection of God's precepts, wanting to go our own way rather than God's way. The fool in Proverbs is a wicked and depraved person. Remember that in Proverbs we are always to model, to follow the example of the wise person and to flee from the example of the foolish person. So then when the woman in Proverbs is characterized as wise who builds her house, it does us good to consider some attributes of the characteristic of wisdom. I'm going to give you seven of them, seven ways in which women are wise. There are many more, but these are, in the book of Proverbs, the most prominent. So number one, a wise woman fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord, says Proverbs, is the beginning of wisdom. That is preschool for wisdom. You don't even begin to be wise until you fear the Lord. If wisdom, biblically speaking, refers to godliness, that begins with fearing God. And we've said before, and I'll say again, to fear God means to reverence him, to love him, to desire to believe in and obey him. Proverbs says that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, before a woman can have any virtue, before she can have any course to pursue, this must be established. She must fear the Lord. And I said that marriage is a very high calling for women, but there is a higher calling than even that, and that is this, ladies. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house upon the rock. You must fear God and follow after him. This is for every man, woman, and child ever born under the sun, the primary calling, and this is your principal calling. Before you can build a home, you must build your heart. You must cultivate wisdom in your heart. You must cultivate a love for God in your heart. Apart from that, you will never, ever lay claim to biblical wisdom. We have an example of a woman named Esther. She demonstrated this very well. Remember, before Esther went in to speak with the king, she called for 3 days of fasting. Esther, for 3 days before her trial, fasted and prayed so that she would have wisdom from God to undertake a difficult task. You see, she feared the Lord. She understood that He was her source of strength. She knew to whom she should turn in her time of trial. So does a wise woman. We have the contrary example, the woman who does not fear the Lord. She is rebellious, proud, unbelieving. She lives her life as if it were not before the face of her Creator. This is illustrated somewhat in Job's wife. Do you remember Job's wife? Do you still hold fast to your integrity, Job? Why don't you curse God and die? Do you remember Job's response? You speak like one of the foolish women. You see, Job's wife, in that instance anyways, was not demonstrating wisdom, because wisdom is fear of the Lord. A second characteristic is that a wise woman is pure. Wisdom is, first of all, pure. She is chaste. She is faithful. She is faithful to her God, faithful to her family, faithful to her husband, to her calling, to her children. The foolish woman, oftentimes warned against in the book of Proverbs, is immoral. She is vulgar. Vulgar in her heart, in her speech, in her actions. She cannot be trusted. The young man is oftentimes warned about the immoral woman. She is a deep pit. Her feet lead down to death. Many are those whom she has slain. The immoral woman is immodest. She's intemperate, indecent. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 warns us against even associating with the sexually immoral. They are not to be found in the church. It is certainly not a mark of wisdom. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 that fornicators, adulterers, sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sexual immorality will lead unrepentant souls to hell. Make no mistake about it. You see, a wise woman understands the value of the virtue of purity. It is a source of confidence in her marriage. The wise woman can be trusted by her husband. The wise woman builds her husband's confidence because she is pure. She values morality. The immoral woman, however, will tear down her house. How many homes have you seen, whether by husband or by wife, have been ruined by sexual immorality, by an affair, by wanton looks? And gentlemen, let me just give you a caution here. Proverbs warns you against the immoral woman. But do you know that not all immoral women walk about in front of your face? Some of them, gentlemen, are found on the screens of your phones and your computers. She is a pit, a deep pit. Her feet lead to death. It is not wisdom. And if it is not wisdom to be immoral, how much more is it unwise to seek after an immoral woman? Potiphar's wife is an example of an immoral woman who, through her lack of wisdom, destroyed her own house. Remember Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39. Joseph came into Potiphar's house, and Joseph prospered Potiphar's house. Everything Joseph touched was like Midas. It turned to gold. He did well. He served his master well. And then Potiphar's wife said Joseph was a handsome guy, you know, kind of had those muscles, and she liked him, and she started pursuing him. Betrayed the confidence of her husband, transgressed the boundary, and brought ruin upon her house. Remember, it was through her that Joseph was imprisoned. Now, if Joseph brought prosperity to Potiphar's house, What do you think that the removal of Joseph brought to Potiphar's house? Certainly not blessing. So a wise woman is pure, chaste. Young women, chastity does not pertain only to marriage, but also prior to marriage. Understand this, and if you have doubts about this, speak to some older women. Now, let me assure you, Christian, if you have fallen, if you have sinned in this matter, forgiveness is available. The Lord Jesus Christ promises to forgive every sin and blasphemy of men. This sin, too. And yet, let me warn you that even though there is forgiveness available, young women, that you may now incur scars and difficulties that will remain, and they will make it difficult for you when you are married. So yes, there is forgiveness, my sisters. There is forgiveness for even sexual sins. But know that they do not come without consequences. In addition to being moral, pure, chaste, a wise woman is humble. A wise woman is humble, but a foolish woman is proud. By the way, I hope that you are seeing that in all of these instances, these virtues apply to men as well as to women, right? It is not as if God is saying the wise woman is humble, but the wise man is proud. No, gentlemen, you have no more standing for pride than the woman. But that's another sermon for another day. The wise woman is humble. Think of the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. She came to Jesus and Jesus said, "Woman, it is not right to give the children's bread to dogs." That could have insulted a woman without some humility, couldn't it have? Now, Jesus, of course, we know, was testing her. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but sometimes even the dogs eat the scraps that fall to the floor." Do you see that humility? And Jesus praised her for having great faith, the humility that can overlook even something that seems insulting. That was a wise woman, worthy of your admiration. She could bear under even an insult. She understood that what Jesus Christ had to offer to her was more valuable than even her own pride and dignity. A wise woman she was indeed. We see a foolish woman, at least a woman acting foolishly in Numbers 12. Miriam, who spoke against Moses, sought to exalt herself against him. And if you remember how the story resolved, she was given leprosy. You see, a wise woman is humble and not proud. In addition, a wise woman is gracious, whereas a foolish woman is hateful. A wise woman is gracious because she knows grace. She has been touched by God's grace and therefore exudes grace. You see, grace is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something which comes from above. It is a quality given to God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And those who have known grace are able to show grace. Remember Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant. The man who had been forgiven much and could not forgive his brother. That is the contrary attitude to graciousness. But every woman in here, every woman on this earth who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has been forgiven very much. Therefore, she knows grace and can afford to be gracious. She is gracious with her husband. She is gracious with her children. She is gracious with her neighbors and her friends. She is gracious with her pastor. Knowing that wounds from a friend can be trusted. At Marah, Moses made bitter water sweet. But a hateful woman, have you ever noticed, can make even sweet water bitter? She can take any circumstances. A woman who is filled with bitterness and hate, she can take any circumstance, any conversation, and turn it into something bitter. Bitterness is not pleasing to God. Consider Herodias, the wife of Herod, who held a long-standing grudge against John the Baptist. And why did she dislike John the Baptist? Because he had warned her husband not to commit adultery. And what did she do? She convinced her daughter to ask for his head on a platter. That was a bitter woman who clung to hate, and in so doing, brought about the murder of a righteous man. A wise woman is gracious, but a foolish woman is hateful. Fifth, a wise woman is peaceful, whereas a foolish woman is contentious. Another character who shows up quite often in the book of Proverbs is one we call the contentious woman. To be contentious means to be argumentative, quarrelsome, nagging, obstinate, not subjected to correction or discomfort or inconvenience. I scarcely need to describe this. We all know people in our lives who are contentious. But if you think of it, a contentious woman is the scoffing child who is now an adult, the one who insists on their own way in every circumstance. And if they are not getting their own way, you will hear about it. Listen to some of the things that Proverbs says about the contentious woman. One, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than in a house with a contentious woman. Get the picture here. It is better, says Proverbs, for a man, a married man, to go and live on the corner of his roof than with a contentious woman. Another proverb says it is better to dwell in the wilderness, in the desert, than with a contentious and angry woman. Ladies, do you ever feel like your husband is avoiding you? Is he spending too much time at work or in the garage or at friends or down at the tavern? Now, those things may not be justified and right on his behalf, but is it possible that he has found his little corner on the roof? Is it possible that he is seeking that desert for relief? The contentious woman is likened to a continual dripping on a very rainy day. I don't know if you've ever had a house in which the roof leaked, or if you've ever stayed in a tent that the roof leaked, or in a hotel or someplace. That constant dripping, and that is what the Bible likens a contentious, nagging, quarrelsome wife to. Proverbs says that a gold ring in a pig's snout is like a woman who lacks discretion. She can be a beautiful woman, but if she lacks the discretion to withhold, to hold back her tongue, she's like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. You cannot put enough lipstick on that pig to make it pretty. But the wise woman is peaceable. She has what the Apostle Paul calls the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. A wise woman is also generous, whereas a foolish woman is selfish. The foolish woman pursues her own desires, her own needs, her own interests. She maintains what is hers and is scared to give it to anyone else. Whereas the wise woman is generous. She gives freely of her things, her time, even herself. You mothers know this, that in order just to be a mother, you give of your very self. You give your life. You take years off of your life every time you bear children, right? You put miles on when you raise children. It costs you. It is sacrifice. I can tell you it's probably not easy being married to me. A selfish woman cannot be a good wife. Remember the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. She's the one who was hospitable to Elisha, the prophet. She even set up a little apartment in the corner of their house for him. Not the corner of the roof and not a leaky roof, but she set up a little place for him there and shared their resources with him. And do you know that the Lord blessed her because of that? That he gave to her a son, and that when that son died, raised that son to life again? You see, she was a generous woman who gave of her things, and God was pleased by it. Oftentimes, this is the case, not just with women, but with anyone. Those who are generous, those who are willing to share what they have, find that it comes back around to them. They find that God rewards generosity, almost as if he had commanded it and promised to reward the generous. But a foolish woman is selfish. In 2 Kings 6, there's the story of these two Samaritan women. These two selfish women. And the first woman said to the second, "Today, let's eat your child, and then tomorrow we'll eat mine." Well, and as the case happened, they ate the first woman's child and didn't eat the other child. And so the woman went and complained to the king. She told me today we would eat my child and then tomorrow her child. But she didn't bring her child the next day. See, she was both selfish and foolish, and she was tricked. But see, selfishness is folly. Now, no one in this room would ever eat their child or make an agreement with their neighbor to eat their children. But there are other ways that a woman can sacrifice their children. There are other things you can place yourself before them. But a wise woman is generous, giving even of herself. Finally, seventhly, a wise woman is productive, whereas a foolish woman is lazy. A wise woman in Proverbs 31 is characterized this way. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Here again, laziness is one of those qualities that is not suitable for either men or women. But a wise woman does not eat the bread of idleness. Think about that. Just really nothing to do. Doing nothing. Just idling, letting the day pass you by as if you were eating it. A contrary example, a good example of productivity is Ruth. Ruth, in Ruth chapter 2, went out to glean. And it says in there, you'll notice this detail, she gleaned until evening. And Boaz took notice. Young men, as you are looking for prospective wives, look for women who are hardworking. Young women, likewise, when you are looking at prospective spouses, look for men who are hardworking. Because, see, wisdom is productive. It works. It doesn't sit idly by. Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Sluggard is a lazy person. "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. She has no captain, no overseer, no ruler, yet she provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." An ant does that. And if you've ever watched, you know, National Geographic or something, you understand this. Ants are very productive, and they have no one even bossing them around. So you might say that an ant displays the kind of wisdom to which God is calling wisdom. Women, they're productive. I know many women struggle with laziness. I know many men struggle with laziness. It is a temptation, a constant temptation for men and women. And we need to ask God to deliver us from it, because it is a mark of folly. It is something with which God is very displeased, and it is a means by which the devil destroys. Okay, if you think about it, everything in life sort of goes towards chaos and entropy, right? Everything, like if you plant a garden, weeds will come in and the good ones will, you know, the good plants will die. If you make a bed, you sleep in it, it gets messed up. If you clean the house, it will get messy. If you go to work, that work will need to get done again, right? All of these things. That's the way that life is. And it takes constant positive pushing in the other direction just to stay even, just to keep from falling down, just to keep from being brought down in the landslide of a fallen earth. Remember, part of the curse were thorns and thistles. In order to overcome those thorns and thistles takes productivity, effort, and not the bread of idleness. You know, you all have probably seen this, where a household can withstand. If you have a household that has a godly woman, and you can even have a bad or absent father, yet that woman, by her godliness, can make that house survive. There's an example of this. Timothy, his grandmother and mother. Timothy's father was a Greek, apparently an unbeliever, but he had a believing grandmother and mother who taught him the scriptures. And then Timothy became the Apostle Paul's true son in the faith because of the godly influence of godly women. So you see the power that women have in a home, the power they have to build up or destroy. A house can withstand a bad or absent father, but woe to the house with a foolish wife. Nothing will pull down a house faster than a woman. And you know, the proverb says she pulls it down with her hands. Understand this, both building up and tearing down take effort. They take effort. It actually takes some effort to act foolishly, and that's the difference between building up and tearing down, is one takes skill, whereas the other takes no skill. If you've ever seen little children playing with blocks, there are two kinds of children, if you see them in the nursery, or maybe there are children at different stages of development, but there are some children who take all of their skill and apply it, and they stack the blocks as high as they can. And then there's another child who just comes along and knocks it over. And he lives for that. That's all he wants to do, is to knock down those blocks. Well, that's mildly irritating for a child in the nursery, but it's absolutely shameful for full-grown adults. God builds things, right? In fact, you know, back in Genesis, when the Lord brought Adam, his wife, it literally says, and God built the man a wife and brought him to her. God creates, and so mankind is creative. Mankind is designed to build, to do positive things. The devil tears down it was the influence of the devil upon Eve and then Adam that tore down what God had established in the garden. Great societies build. Barbarians do nothing but sack and pillage and rampage and tear down. Jesus Christ builds his church. The devil seeks to destroy it. You see, any fool can tear down, but it takes wisdom to build. Both of them take effort. Both of them take a goal. Although I wonder many times when we are tearing down our houses if we are aware of it. Both tearing down and building up require effort. Both of them, you have seen. You have seen a house torn down. But in light of what we have read in this proverb, I want to ask you, and this is where I want to conclude. God tells you in this proverb, and I want to ask you, what do you choose, ladies? Do you want to build things? Do you want to build a house? Do you want to be a wise woman who builds a house? Or do you want to be a foolish woman who tears down a house? If, as you ought, you want to be a wise woman who builds her house, then know this, that the wisdom which you need to do that can only come from above. That wisdom comes from God. This is not something where you just hike up your skirt and work at it, right? No, you have to depend upon God, just like we do for all other graces. We do not do this by our own strength. Indeed, we must cry out to God for all of those marks of wisdom that we talked about. Those are all things which you must receive from God. Those are all gifts of God's Spirit that you can cultivate, that you can fan up, that you can seek after, but only through faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. Listen to what James says about wisdom from God. James 3:17. Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Doesn't that sound like the virtues which we read of the wise woman? So, my sisters, I implore you to call out today to your Lord. Ask him for that wisdom, and then pursue that wisdom. Cultivate those virtues. What will it be, sisters? Will you build up, or will you tear down? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your faithful word. Thank you, Lord, for the examples we've had in Scripture and in our own lives of wise women who have sought to overturn the work of the devil by building up. We ask, Lord, that you would build us, that you would build us, give us, Lord, a fear and love for you, that we would build each other up, that we would build up your church, Lord, that we would build our families. Thank you, Father, in Christ's holy name. Amen.